A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubis Kuftes, Ksubis 109a, pagination 217. We'll start from the last line of the facing page. Haposek ma'us lechasno, a person who designated money, he promised money in a binding way to his potential son-in-law. Upashat lo asaregel, and now he is ignoring it, either because he can't or because he doesn't want. So the Mishnah in the first position takes a very strong approach. Teshev ad shetal bin rosha. The woman is going to end up sitting and waiting until her hair goes white. In other words, this father, by not coming through on the dowry commitment, is leaving the daughter in a horrendous position because she's bound in marriage to the man, and the man is not consummating the marriage by taking her as an asua into his home because the father-in-law is not keeping his commitment. Admon says there's a tremendous solution that this woman can claim. Yecholahi shetomar, she's able to say, ilu ani pasakti la'atzmi, if I was the one who made that commitment, eshev et shetal ben roshi, then I understand why I have to keep waiting, because I'm not keeping my word. Achshav sha'aba pasak, but now it's my father in our case that made the commitment. Ma'ani yecholah la'asos, what can I possibly do? O Kenos, either take me without standing on ceremony waiting for that money, O Pator, or give me a get. But you can't manipulate me because of what my father did to you. The Mishnah concludes, Omar Rabban Gamliel said, Roa ani es divrei Admon. It appears to me that Admon is correct, and that would be the approach, that she has an argument in which she says, my father is the one who made the unfulfilled commitment to you. Don't ruin my life. Either give me a get or accept me without that money. What we do see here, though, is something very thought-provoking and requires a solution, and that is that this woman can be caught in a terrible situation where a financial commitment was made and it's not being fulfilled, and she needed an argument in order to receive her get. Her argument was, my father is the one who wronged you. I didn't wrong you. So either take me in or give me a get. But what seems to emerge from the Mishnah is that if you would have a case where she did not have that argument, she actually would get stuck at Shetal ben Rosha until she grows old without him cooperating neither in taking her in marriage nor in giving a get. You have a case basically of an aguna because Kiddushin was done and Nisuin was not yet done, and the finances are not in order. How exactly do we understand that she could remain an aguna if she didn't have this argument of the father is the one at fault, not me, don't take it out on me? And what seems to be happening over here is that we have essentially a stalemate. What we mean by that is that sometimes you have a law. Someone owes somebody else money, and if we want to make everything very palatable, this would not be the conclusion, but legally, this is the conclusion. Legally, the conclusion is that her family made a commitment to him, and he's just gonna keep waiting for the commitment to be fulfilled. And there really is no release valve over here. There's no opportunity, except for this argument that she has, my father's the one who did that with you, don't take it out on me. Question would be, what would happen if she was the one who made the commitment to him? You have an older woman, a woman who's fending for herself, and she would make a commitment to the chassan, and she would get the kiddushin, and now she's not able to fulfill it, the obligation, financial obligation, either because she doesn't want to, or because she doesn't have it, which is really the troubling example, where she's now out of the money that she thought she was going to pay, and therefore she's stuck. Therefore, she doesn't have the argument of o kenos, o petor. So, there is a case in the Gemara that states, kasevura ani sha'aba nosein olai, that even if the woman is the one articulating the commitment, it could be that she could argue that she thought her father would come through for her, and she was simply articulating what she thought the father would do, and Admon, even in that case, would hold that she has an escape valve, if you will, that when the commitment is not fulfilled, she says, I thought my father would fulfill it. Turns out he's not fulfilling it. Don't take it out on me, o kenos, o petor. Either take me without the fulfillment or give me a get. And the question is, if we're willing to paskin like that case, the Rosh, as the Korban Asano understands it, seems to paskin hachi hilchasa, that even in that case she could argue it, but that's only if she made the commitment to the chassan in the presence of the father, indicating that she was only expressing what she perceived the father's commitment to be. And therefore she argues, don't take it out on me, it's really my father's commitment. But we still remain with a very troubling case, which is if the woman herself made the commitment on her own and then had kiddushin, and now she fell on hard times and can't fulfill it, she doesn't have an argument of o kenos o petar. She's left to the goodwill of the chassan to indeed do that. Now, it's worth clarifying that this case doesn't exist nowadays because we do not make kiddushin and then leave her in that precarious situation where she's married but not yet in the husband's home, because in that case you have our entire Mishnah unfolding that there might be a case of Achatal bin Rosha, that she's stuck. The way we do it is that we could do Kiddushin and follow it immediately with Nisuin, and all the commitments that are made before are commitments and they have to be dealt with and honored, but ultimately she's not going to be an Aguna. As the Rama writes in Simen Nun Beis, Kol Zelo Mairi, this entire discussion of our Mishnah was referring Kodem Shanasa, before the Nisuin, before the Chuppah. Avala Acha Shanasa, once the husband married her, Vadai Lo Yuchal Ligvgod Beishto, he's certainly not allowed to reject his wife, Mishum She'ein Nosin L'Malmal Shapaskulo, because they're not giving him what was agreed. Now they're a family unit, and he's going to be obligated in everything to his wife, like a regular, normal marriage. Likewise, the Rama writes, Lo yiskot tu adam ba'avur nedumya, a person should never argue because of what was promised. Afal pi shepaskulo, even though he was itemized and promised to him, he still shouldn't argue about it. These things are very touchy things, and as committed as people may be, if something gets in the way, not allowed to make a big fuss about it. In fact, the Mefarshim point out that we should look back at Simon Beis in Evan Ezer. Misha pasku lo mamon harbe l'shiduchim v'chazru bohem. If a person was promised a lot of money to marry this girl, And then they backed out. Lo ya'agen kaloso. He should not turn his kala into an aguna and wait it out and stalemate and argue. Umisha osekein, a person who does behave like that, eino matzliach. He doesn't have hatzlocha as a result. Sometimes a person, the only thing they can see is money at the time of the Shidduchim, and even though they do it for good reasons, they're thinking about the budget that they're going to have to cover, it's still not a smart thing to stand on ceremony. Hamamon sha'adam lokeachim ishto eino mamon shal yosher. The Ramos says that the money that a man gets with his wife is not clean money. It's money that the Kala's family is giving under duress, if this is the way it's unfolding. Whatever the in-laws give, he should take pleasantly, and they'll give it pleasantly, and then the couple will have hatzlacha, will be successful. This entire discussion highlights very clearly why we view the mitzvah of achnasas kala, giving money to a kala in order to get married, with such importance. Number one, in the very extreme case, which the Mishnah described, you could have a woman who's in a stalemate. They made a commitment, and she has no good argument to get out of it. It was her commitment, not her father's commitment, possibly. And in that case, how is she going to get out of it? And the community comes forward, either to influence the husband to get with the program, like the Ramos says, and if there is not that money, then he should just proceed and have a good life together with the bracha of the Ramah, or the community can come forward and try to fulfill the obligation on her behalf so that the shidduch should proceed. Likewise, with all kinds of other dynamics, even if she's not Achatal bin Rosha, that she's stuck, but there could be many other situations where commitments were made or commitments need to be made in order to facilitate the marriage, and Hachnasas Kala is considered one of the enormous forms of chesed, of kindness, that a person can do. In fact, they say from the Stipler, possibly as a quip, possibly literally, I'm not sure, but the Stipler understood the famous statement that we make in the morning by Birchas HaTorah, listing off different mitzvahs, Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, then comes Hachnasas Kala, helping the Kala get married by providing financial assistance, or Levayas HaMeis, and accompanying the dead person to his burial, the mitzvah of a Levaya. So the Stipler said the reason Hachnasas Kala is in between visiting the sick and a Levaya, because the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala has the power to separate between the normal chas v'shalom progression between sick and a levaya. Hachnasas Kala has the power to get in between and grant the person a salvation and a complete recovery. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.